Also,
yesterday morning, we recognized that all of us
have been called to be spiritual watchmen. Spiritual watchmen to watch over the souls of the people around us. Yes, it is an onerous task. It is a huge, heavy responsibility. As James also said, it is not something that we will do naturally. Because, I mean, by default, we just want to keep to ourselves. We just want to do our own thing. We just want to rest, want to relax. But there are certain duties that the watchman has been called to do. Your role, your responsibility, and that is something that you cannot escape from. You have been placed in that position, you have been placed in that role. And as we saw earlier, as we saw yesterday, that all of us have a specific group of people whom we are called to be a watchman to. Your group of people is different from my group of people, and every one of us here has different people that you can come into contact with, that you can be watchmen for. As I mentioned again earlier, that this watchman here, especially just with regards to Ezekiel, the watchman in Ezekiel, is with regards to sharing the gospel with them, to warn them of the impending danger and doom, of the Lord's return, of the judgment that is about to come if they do not repent and turn back to the Lord. We're going to look a bit more into that tomorrow when we look into the message of the watchman. But today we'll focus on the duties. What are certain sort of things that he has to do as a watchman? What sort of attributes, what sort of requirements do you have to fulfill this job, this position as a watchman? Now, Ezekiel chapter 33, we see the call to a watchman being repeated to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33 actually begins a third and final section of the book of Ezekiel. The first part, he was pronouncing judgment. Judgment upon Israel to tell them that because of your sin, because of the way that you have turned away from the Lord, Jerusalem will be destroyed. And so he preached, but they refused to listen. And from chapter 25 onwards, he actually turned and focused on the surrounding nations to say that judgment has come upon them as well because they also have sinned against the Lord. And so it had been about maybe a period of time, maybe a year or two, that he had not been preaching amongst Israel anymore because they refused to listen. Now when we come to chapter 33, what we will hear in the middle of the chapter in verse 21 is that the news came that Jerusalem had fallen. Jerusalem, as had been predicted by Jeremiah and then also Ezekiel, Jerusalem had fallen. And so now they had the message of Ezekiel shifted somewhat. From just woe and judgment, now he also brings the message of redemption, of restoration that will come upon Israel. The promise to look forward to in comfort and assurance that, well, one day Jerusalem will be rebuilt, Jerusalem will be restored. And it speaks of the coming future glories. And so in Ezekiel chapter 33, what we see is a repeat of his commission. And then in this account here, from verse 1 to 6, we see a sort of a parable analogy being drawn about actually what does a watchman do? Because prior to that, it was just the call of the watchman. Here, what we see is a bit of a description about the role of the watchman. And there are a few ideas that we want to put forth when we talk about what a watchman is supposed to do. Verse 2 talks about, tells us this. It says, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, what is he supposed to do? Verse 3 tells us. Firstly, he will have to see. You see that in verse 3, the first part? When he sees the sword coming upon them, upon the land. First idea they want to see is that, well, basically he has to watch. Like any watchman does, he has to watch. I mean, that's inherent within the word itself. But watch with what? Watch with vigilance. Watch with alertness. Wakefulness, sobriety. These are all the ideas that come in together when we talk about the watchman. A dutiful watchman, of course, will what? Watch. Like James mentioned just now, you have to stand guard. You have to be alert. You have to keep watching. We cannot afford to slack on the job. You must constantly be on the lookout. I remind you, this watchman is with regards to watching for other people. It means that when we fulfill our duty, we cannot slack. We must constantly be on guard for the welfare, for the safety of the people around us. That was what the watchman was supposed to be. He was supposed to sit there and he will wake. You know, except the Lord build the house, the watchman waketh but in vain, right? He stays awake for in vain. No, but you must, within the idea, stay awake. You must continue to watch. You know, in a lot of the security guards that we see in Singapore, especially when you visit some of those condominiums, a lot of times the watchmen there, I mean the security guard, which is their role as a watchman, a lot of times they really don't watch. They just sit there and their role is simply to press the button. Right? You just drive up, you just wave, and then you just press the button, the barrier goes up and then you go in. Now, as an example, a negative example of a watchman who is there, he may be physically watching with his eyes, but he's really not watching. Because he was there to make sure that the compound is secure, right? To make sure that you know, the people coming in, they are not foreigners, outsiders coming in to, you know, to create some nuisance or worse, to rob or to steal, right? And so that's what he's employed for, but sometimes you just drive up, you look confident, you look like you're a resident, you just wave back and press the button and you're in. That's not an example of a good watchman. A good watchman will be alert and aware. He sees the danger coming and he knows that he has to do something about it. Now, with regards to our duty as a watchman, now what then should we do? When we say that we are on guard, when we are vigilant and when we are watching, it means that when you go through this world, you go through with your eyes open, seeing what? We see the distinction and difference in the people around us. There are people who are what? Who are not believers, right? They are not saved. They are heading to destruction. They're heading to their doom. And we have to be alert. We have to be aware. We cannot afford to just go through life thinking about ourselves. That's often what we do, right? We just care for our own concerns, our own personal comforts. And chief of our desire is my own wants, my own needs. Probably that's what the security guard has in mind. I just want to sit here and be comfortable. I just want to watch my little TV from that little screen that I have, or I just want to, you know, do as little as possible. I don't want to have to fill up that form or to give you that visitor, you know, label and everything. I just want to sit there and I just press the button. It's enough. That's often our attitude, right? We just want to sit there. We just want to go through life with little hindrance as possible. Because to be a watchman for someone means to be stepping out of your comfort zone. To go up and talk to a person and face and maybe fear rejection or face ridicule or scorn. We don't like that. We don't like that. A watchman has to be discerning. He has to realize the danger that is coming and to act upon it. That is what vigilance means. That is what to mean to be really watching. To be watching on their behalf, to see that danger is coming, that is something I have to do. And so after you see the danger coming, you watch, and you know that, hey, the people around me need my help. I have been called to be a watchman for them, and my duty then is to be quick to act. That's the next idea that we want to see, is that, well, when he watches, he doesn't just watch and see, but when he sees, he must respond. And he has to respond with swiftness. That's to see, you see, if he sees the sword coming, he must blow the trumpet. When must he blow the trumpet? Well, instantly, right? A vigilant watchman will continually scan the horizon, keep looking far into the distance, and the moment he sees that plume of smoke, right, of dust being kicked up by an approaching army, he will know, oh, danger is coming, and he will instantly blow the trumpet to warn. And so this is a warning against procrastination, against putting it off, because a lot of times we know, right? Yes, I ought to reach out to this and that person. Yes, I know that the Lord has placed him in my life and, well, I'm in a position to do something about it. But yet, we always wait for tomorrow, or maybe next week, maybe at an opportune time, maybe when it is more convenient. Maybe when, you know, he's not so busy, maybe when he's not so worked up, maybe one fine day I can take him out for a meal. And we always think of all these things, but it really never happens, right? We think about it, And you say, yes, yes, I'm praying about it, I'm praying about it, I'm praying about it, but really, that's just our excuse. You see, the watchman's role is very, very time critical. Every second that he delays means the army is getting closer and closer. Within these cities, these walled cities, a lot of the activity goes on within the city, true. But outside of the city walls, there is a lot of activity going on as well. The farmers, they're tending to their crops, their lands, their cattle, their sheep. A lot of things go on outside. And there are people, you know, the gate is open, the city gates are open for trade, for people coming to and fro. The moment the alarm sounds, there are many things that people have to do. They have to all rush back into the city walls. The city guard has to be activated. They have to all, you know, there's a call to arms. Everybody have to quickly arm themselves and go up on the turrets on the walls around and you know, arm their bows and arrows. There are many things that need to be done. And every second and every minute that the watchman delays, maybe one more person or a few more people will lose their lives because of it. It is critical. And he cannot afford to procrastinate. The moment he sees and he knows for sure the enemy is coming, he has to blow. He has to blow. Lives are at stake. In fact, the whole city, the fate of the whole city lies in the balance. And he has to do something about it. And for us, as we read this passage and as we consider our own role as a watchman, realize that time is short. And throughout this camp, as we consider the message, watch and pray, watch and pray. One of the ideas behind watch and pray is what? That we know that the Lord is coming soon. You know not when the Lord may come, but there are many signs and many indications to help us to see that truly we are living in the last of the last days. We don't know when the next day may be the last. We sing the song, maybe today, my Lord may come for me. It could be today, tomorrow, a week, weeks later. But even if the Lord doesn't come in the next year or the next 2 years, we never know when our own lives may end, right? Any moment, our lives also hang in the balance. The lives of the people around us, the people whom we want to reach out to. It's too late when he is lying in the coffin and you say, I should have done something. I should have spoken to him earlier. I should have spoken to him when I had the chance. But then it'll be too late. It is critical that we be quick in our vigilance. We don't just see. But when we see and we know there is a danger, when we know that this person needs the Lord, we be quick to act upon it. And finally, there is this idea, when he blows the trumpet, he must warn the people. That is his primary task. That's the word that we see repeated throughout this whole passage. To warn. He's warning. He's there supposed to be the one who warns, to sound the alarm, to warn them of the danger coming. And when you warn someone, you need boldness, right? You need to be bold. He cannot hesitate. He has to be assured, confident. He has to have courage. That one person blow one horn, he will alert the whole city. Thousands of people will all stand up, rise up in response to your warning. We need courage. We need courage. A lot of times the thing that is holding us back is this very thing. We fear. We think and we think and we second guess ourselves and we wonder, well, is it really the enemy? Is it really that critical? Is it that really important? You know, sometimes we think, well, if I share the gospel with him and, you know, maybe he will look at me differently. He will consider, you know, me and we will lose our friendship. Or maybe you say, well, I don't want to inconvenience his life too much. He's quite happy, it seems. And then if I share the gospel with him and he gets saved and his spouse doesn't get saved, then, you know, I'm going to mess up their family. I don't want to do that. I don't want to ruffle too many feathers. And so we hold back. We are not bold. We don't have the courage. We fear so many different things. Maybe the watchman will stand there and think, well, you know, if I sound the alarm and all these people have to stop work, they have to close their shops and all the soldiers have to come up and mount the city walls, and it's such an inconvenient thing. That's what he will think if he doesn't realize how critical the situation is. If he doesn't realize how great a danger the city is facing, and he might not sound the warning, he thinks, well, oh, maybe it's just a small troop of 50 people. I will just tell my friend and he will convey the message to the to the soldiers, and well, we don't have to, you know, shut down the whole city just for me. But you see, it's not about you. It's not about your life. It's not about how much inconvenience you bring to them. It is about souls that are at stake, that are at stake. Eternity. Eternity is what is at stake here. And you have to be bold. You have to blow confidently and sound the warning. Because verse 6 tells us that if we do not do these things, if we procrastinate and blow not the trumpet, if we are fearful, if we do not, you know, warn when we are supposed to, what will happen? The people are not warned. The people are not told. And then what happens? The sword comes and takes any person away from them, among them. He is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Your job is important. If you do not commit yourself and go out and warn and tell the people about the coming judgment, Bible says the blood is upon your hands. You are held responsible. And so really, this is our job. But one final thing to note is that, you know, when we warn, we don't have to be concerned with the results of the warning. Our job is simply to warn. Because that's what we see in the passage as well, that, well, if the person refuses to respond and repent, he doesn't listen, well, it is not your fault. You have done your part. You have sounded the warning. If the people respond, then good, that you have saved lives. But if they don't respond, yet if you have warned and they don't respond, well, you have done your part. The blood is no longer on your hands. But yet what we have to do, what our duty is to warn, is to watch and to warn. A watchman will see. And when he sees the danger coming, when he knows that you need the gospel, you will open your mouth, you will blow the trumpet, you will sound the warning, tell them of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, their need for a Savior, and the salvation that can be held, can be gotten from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us be very mindful of this duty that we all have, the duty of a watchman. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this morning, this first morning devotion that we can have, alerting us to our role as a watchman. We pray that Thou grant us much grace, much courage, much wisdom, much boldness in our sharing of the gospel to the people around us. Even as we watch and pray for ourselves, may we watch and pray for the people around us also. We pray that Thou also be with us the rest of this morning as we have our morning messages. We pray that Thou strengthen our pastor, Ren Kwek, as he preaches and brings Thy word to us. We commit ourselves in Thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.